Hi, everyone, and welcome to What Would My Shrink Say? A podcast where you get inside the heads of a couple psychologists and see life through their eyes. You'll never be the same.
Nick, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Many times, I have clients that tell me they're struggling with sleep. Mm-hmm. Either not sleeping enough or sleeping too much or whatever it is in the case of whatever that client's struggling with. I often refer those clients almost to you because I don't know much about sleep, and you obviously do. What kind of advice do you give to clients about sleep or sleep issues, I guess?
Well, it depends on the sleep issue.
Okay.
So a lot of people I see come in with someone has stuck the label of insomnia on them. Mm. And insomnia is kind of
it's a type of sleep issue.
Yeah. Right? It's a sleep disorder technically. But it's a little bit, well, I mean, like a lot of our disorders, it's a little fuzzy actually when you really kind of inspect it, closely. I think technically what you need to have a diagnosis of insomnia is, significantly less sleep than normal more often than not for an extended period of time.
So these are the patients coming in saying, I'm not sleeping very
much.
Yeah.
So if you normally get, I don't know, 7.5 hours of sleep per night, right? Most nights, that's kind of what you get. And then something crazy happens. And all of a sudden you're sleeping, 5.5 hours, 4 or 5 nights a week. And this has been going on for a month, 2 months. That's basically insomnia.
Okay.
Now the thing is though, most people who struggle with insomnia don't actually have significantly less overall sleep than they did before they had insomnia. What ends up happening in insomnia is for a brief period, you do have way less sleep than you're used to.
Okay.
And then you become worried about sleep. Because obviously it doesn't feel good to get 2 hours less sleep than you're used to, right? You're tired, you're sluggish, you're kind of cranky, right? You're irritable, you don't have as much energy, all this stuff. So people start getting worried about their sleep. And then they start trying to fix it. And they start Googling, sleep hygiene tips and how to deal with insomnia. And maybe they go to their doctor and get some sleeping pills. And all of a sudden sleep has become a thing for them. What used to just be something they did, when it was bedtime, and something they stopped doing when it was time to wake up. Now it's like a project.
It's a focus.
Yeah. Something they're really thinking about. And understandably, because they get into bed and they're wide awake and their mind starts thinking about what they got to do tomorrow. And then they look over and they realize, oh my gosh, it's been an hour since I got into bed and I don't even feel sleepy. Mm. What if it takes me another hour to fall asleep? I'm going to be a wreck tomorrow. Mm. Now they're even more worked up and even more less likely to sleep. So, I think a common pattern with a lot of psychological, emotional issues is that whatever kind of trauma or incident or negative thing that happens initially, you have a panic attack or you don't sleep very well for a couple nights or, you lose someone close to you and you're just really down. How we respond to those kind of acute stressors or traumas is often more important in the long run than the initial thing itself. So it's a little vague, but let me try and elaborate on that a little bit.
Please. Lost me.
I have no idea where you're going. So let's say I had a client recently whose father died unexpectedly at a fairly young age, and he went through a lot of grief.
Horrible thing to happen.
Yeah, terrible. And for a few weeks, he was really not sleeping very well because he would get into bed and he'd just think about his dad and how much he missed his dad. And he'd get understandably very upset. And
sure.
And that just really impacted his sleep. So he was, he was a fairly normal 7 or 8 hour per night sleeper, and he was getting, six and a half. And he went to his GP, his doctor, and the doctor told him, wow, looks like you got some insomnia. Here's some sleeping pills. So now it's kind of in his mind that there's something wrong with his sleep.
There's a sleep problem.
Mm-hmm. He's got a sleep disorder. Pills for it. Yeah, insomnia. I mean, he started reading up on it online and realized this is a real disorder. There's boatloads of forums online with people talking about their insomnia and how it's ruined their life.
And how awful it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So, but here's the weird thing about sleep. The more you focus on it and the harder you try to do it and the more you think about it, the less likely you are to fall asleep.
Mm.
Right? Because by definition, sleep is, it's something that is very inactive. Right?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of arousal.
It's the opposite of arousal. Yeah, if you imagine a continuum, like a horizontal line of human activity, on the far left-hand side is sleep, deep sleep. You're not active at all.
Right.
Right? You're basically comatose. Right? Then, you know, when you get out of sleep, you might imagine kind of relaxation, like just sort of laying on the couch late in the evening, you know, very low stimulation. Then there's sort of like active or alert. Right. And this is like what you spend most of the day in.
Right.
Checking emails, you're having conversations with people.
Conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we all have like turbo mode, which is, you might define it as arousal, where you really have to kick it up a notch.
Right.
You know, you're being chased by a bear in the wilderness, or full your on. Boss sends yeah. you an urgent email that you have to respond to. So it's like gears in a car, right? The thing is, you can't go into sleep if you're in turbo mode. It just doesn't make any sense. Right. It's like you can't be parked and in sixth gear at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Right.
And your mind is the same way. So when you're laying in bed and you're worrying about how awful tomorrow is going to be because you're not sleeping well, right?
Right.
Or you're wondering what's wrong with you because you can't sleep. What you're doing is you're shifting your brain into a higher level of arousal, which is the opposite direction of sleep.
Right.
So the problem of insomnia basically boils down to this term called sleep effort, which is this idea that as soon as, you know, for a lot of people, when they have an initial problem with sleep, they think of it as a problem to be solved and they start trying to solve this problem. They start taking pills, they start researching it online, they start doing all sorts of sleep hygiene stuff. Worrying about it, yep, and its effects on them. The problem is all these things, while great strategies in most of our lives, trying hard, thinking carefully, problem solving, doing research, 95% of your life, super great strategy, right? When it comes to sleep, it kind of blows up in your face because you're making yourself more aroused. You're essentially telling your brain, kick up into work mode or turbo mode.
Yeah, or we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the opposite of what you want to do when you're trying to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's, I know this is kind of a long-winded explanation, but it's important because it's very counterintuitive. Like we're saturated culturally in kind of this problem-solving sort of mindset where everything is sort of a thing you need to take control of and apply effort to it and figure out. And the thing about sleep is human beings' bodies for hundreds of thousands of years have been sleeping just fine on their own without sleeping pills,
right?
Without Google giving them lists of sleep hygiene tips. Like your body knows how to sleep. And it's actually very normal to go through periods where you don't sleep as well as you would like. If your parent dies, it's incredibly normal to lay and wake in bed, you know, thinking about your parent and being unable to sleep.
Right.
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Doesn't mean your sleep system's broken.
But once you start thinking it is, and once you start increasing your sleep effort, that cognitive arousal that is actually not going to help you sleep, that's where the insomnia comes from.
That's the problem, right? So that when you start developing behavioral and cognitive habits that lead to arousal, that's what leads to you chronically and consistently not being able to sleep as much as you would like. Because the thing you're doing to try and help is actually hurting.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So all the worry, all the focus about sleep, all the sleep effort that you think might be helping you focus and address this problem is actually exacerbating the issue and making it even worse.
Yes. So this is what I tell people. A comment that when people can't sleep very well, the most common response they get from healthcare providers or friends or whatever is sleep hygiene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sleep hygiene is stuff like, make sure there isn't too much light in your room and make sure the temperature's good and make sure you don't eat a big meal right before bed and stuff like this, kind of useful little tips and tricks about sleep. And on their own, there's nothing wrong with those. Like yeah, you don't want to eat a huge meal right before bed. Like, that's probably not going to be great for your sleep. And right. if you've got a floodlight coming into your room in the middle of the night, like, that's not going to be great for sleep. Mm. The problem is, any of the mild benefits of these, like, kind of sleep hygiene tips and of trying to make your sleep better,
yeah,
they're quickly outweighed by this really nasty negative side effect, which is sleep effort. When you're trying to make your sleep better, you're arousing yourself, right? Anytime you apply effort or kind of a striving attitude towards something, problem solving, you're telling your brain, kick up a gear,
right?
Go into work mode. And so, of course, you're going to have a harder time falling asleep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. So the arousal caused by kind of the sleep effort works just the opposite of the way you think it will. And you don't get sleep because you're going through that arousal yes. all the time.
So, this is the problem of insomnia is that it is a problem, but in order to get out of it, you have to treat it as though it's not a problem.
It's like a golf swing.
Yeah, right. Sort of.
The more you're in your head, right before
the worse,
you swing.
Yeah, the worse your swing's going to be, right?
Right?
So actually that's a great metaphor because how do you end up hitting the golf ball well? If thinking about it makes it worse, what do you do?
What I would do is focus on like one thing, right? Mm. So stand over that ball,
uh-huh.
look at your target, swing.
Okay, so don't think about it.
Don't go over where your hands are, where your elbow is, where your arm is, where your feet are, where your hip right. rotation is. Yeah.
Should you never think about those things?
No. I'm sure there's a time and a place, but it's probably not right before you hit the ball.
Right.
It's like milliseconds.
Yeah, practice, yeah. right?
Yeah.
There's a time for thinking about and understanding a problem and how it works and how to approach the problem, right? Mm. But game time is not that problem.
Right.
It's not that time. So similarly to sleep, it is important to understand sleep and how it works and to understand insomnia and the factors that go into it and to understand, you know, general kind of sleep hygiene things. The problem is if you're thinking about them during game time, like right before bed, you're going to totally screw yourself up.
Because you're going to increase that arousal.
Yes. Right. So the overarching philosophy when it comes to working through insomnia is the phrase, set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
You heard
it.
This phrase before? I don't know where it comes from, but I really like it. The idea is there are rules and principles that will guide you through insomnia and that will get your sleep back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand those, but those need to be principles that, like a robot, you download and then you follow them without thinking.
Okay.
And what because are those principles? As soon as you start thinking about them, you sort of short circuit the whole process.
Okay.
Right.
What are these principles?
So yeah, there's a few of them. The first, and most of them are counterintuitive.
Okay.
So the first thing I tell people, usually who have insomnia, is 99% of people with insomnia should spend less time in bed than they currently do.
Less time.
Now, this is counterintuitive because if you think you're not sleeping very well, you're tired all the time.
Right.
Well, I got to get in bed so that I have more opportunity to sleep.
Right.
The problem with this is if you have insomnia, your bed has become... You've spent weeks, months, years, decades even laying in bed worrying about not sleeping.
Okay.
So your bed has become associated with sleep effort, with worrying, with arousal, mm-hmm. right? And if you're in bed when you're not actually sleepy, you're just going to perpetuate that unhelpful pattern and set of habits, right? So the one of the really useful things you can do if you have insomnia is actually limit the amount of time you spend in bed so that you're only in bed when you're really, really sleepy. Mm. So the practical example, let's say you typically get in bed around 10:30, 10:45, something like that. And normally you're asleep by 11:15, something like that. And then maybe you wake up at 6:30, somewhere around there, seven and a half hours of sleep. It's a pretty normal night's sleep.
Okay.
Well, what if you've got insomnia where you're doing that, but you're just not sleeping fair? You're having a hard time falling asleep. You're laying in bed for an hour or two before you end up falling asleep. You're waking up
at 10:30 and you're not going to bed till 1:30.
Yeah, something like that.
Two, something.
And then you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep for a while. What most people try and do is they say, okay, well, I'm going to get in bed earlier. I'm going to get in bed at 9:30
mm-hmm.
so that even if I lay awake for an hour and a half, I'll still get my 8 hours and I'll still get my 7 hours in.
Right.
The problem is, now you're spending time in bed when you're even less sleepy than you were before. So there's even more opportunity for your brain to start worrying being effortful, like arousing you.
I'm not going to sleep yet.
So you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get worried, and you're going to exacerbate this problem of, you know, associating your bed with effort and arousal, which is the last thing you want for sleep.
Right.
So the first thing you need to start doing is eliminating all that effort and activity and thinking that you're doing in bed.
Okay.
So what you actually want to do is get into bed later than you normally would.
11.
Yeah. 11, 12 even. You want to be dog tired, like cannot keep your eyelids from closing, sleepy when you get into bed.
Okay.
And then you probably want to wake up earlier than normal as well. So if you would like to get 7 hours of sleep, if you have insomnia, try and get 6 hours of good sleep consistently.
It shouldn't be hard if you've got insomnia, right? To get less sleep, I mean.
You'd be surprised. but what that does too is getting up earlier, that means you're awake longer during the day.
And more tired.
Obviously. Yeah, which means you have more time to become sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's called sleep drive, which is your need or drive for sleep.
Increases.
Yeah, and the longer you're awake, the stronger that drive for sleep is going to be.
Gotcha.
So the next night, right, you're going to have that much more need for sleep. And so you're going to have an easier time falling asleep and staying asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's counterintuitive, mm-hmm. but you generally want to spend less time in bed than you normally would if you have insomnia. And really what you're doing here is you're prioritizing quality of sleep over quantity of sleep.
Gotcha.
Which is actually much, much more important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, 6 hours of really good, high quality sleep beats 8 hours of mediocre sleep every single time.
Yeah.
You'll feel much better with high quality of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Another thing would be you really want to start regulating your sleep patterns and rhythms. That's another common thing with people with insomnia is their sleep schedules are all over the place.
Right. Some of my clients will say they take naps whenever they can. They try to sleep here and there. They don't sleep regularly. Yeah, they know it.
It's
yeah.
all over the place. Right. Right. So the best way to regulate that and even things out is to get up at the same time every single day. Now, this is a tall order. This is really, really hard for
same
a lot
time
of people.
Every day.
Same time, preferably on the early side for you, whatever's early for you. If you normally get up at 7, try 6.
Mm.
And you got to keep it not just on the weekdays or work days, every single day, weekends, holidays, whatever.
Right.
And when you do this, it's hard. I mean, it's really tough, but this will go a long way towards evening out your sleep so that you get into a consistent, regular, predictable pattern for sleep, because that's what your brain wants.
For when you get up and when you're tired, that becomes more consistent if you keep that those patterns.
But it starts at the wake up time,
because mm-hmm. then you're going to start building that sleep drive.
Exactly, you're going to start getting. But one of the things you have to do is be careful of naps. So people with insomnia, as a general rule of thumb, should not be napping, because when you nap, you kill your sleep drive. You use up sleep drive.
You deplete it.
Yep. So it takes you longer to get sleepy again that night. So what you want to do is really get yourself really, really, really sleepy by the time bedtime rolls around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's gonna make it easier to fall asleep quickly and to stay asleep.
If that's the natural way.
Right.
It's because you're tired.
Right. But if you sleep in the morning and if you nap, you're eating into that time you have to build up sleep drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just not going to be as sleepy. And then you're going to get frustrated and anxious because you're not sleepy.
And so things like weekends where you get up way late disrupt that sleep pattern.
Yeah, there's a phenomenon called social jet lag.
Oh.
If you think about jet lag, if you're in San Francisco and you're flying to New York, right? If you get into New York at 10 p.m., right? That's the time on the wall, 10 p.m. You get to your hotel room at 11 and you think, oh, wow, 11 o'clock, time for bed. Well, it's not 11 o'clock to your brain.
Right.
Right? To your brain, it's like 8.
Right.
So you're going to get in bed and you're going to be laying there. You're not going to want to, you know.
Not tired.
Yeah, you're not tired. And then what's going to happen when you wake up at 6 a.m., right? It's not going to feel like 6 a.m. It's going to feel like 3 a.m., right? Because there's a mismatch between what your body is expecting and what the time on the wall says. So, and we all know jet lag. Like jet lag does not feel good, right? That is exactly what we do to ourselves when on Saturday and Sunday morning, we sleep in an extra 2 hours So our body gets used to waking up at 8 instead of 6. Hmm. And then all of a sudden, when you try and wake it up at 6, your body's going to throw a fit because you've spent the last 2 days getting it used to waking up at 8.
And you might feel it on the going to sleep side, right?
As because well.
Your sleep drive isn't as
it's not as high.
High, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So you really, I mean, it feels good to sleep in for sure. And, you know, like you may feel like you've earned it and you probably have. but if your sleep is consistently bad, that is a huge contributor to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think this is a reason why this is why Mondays get us such a bad rap. You start off your day feeling terrible.
Social jet lag. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've sort of ruined your sleep.
You got up way earlier.
Yeah. You totally shifted around your schedule for 2 days.
Yeah.
And now you're having to shift it back again.
Yeah. Well, and that's not a good way to start the weekend if you have an insomnia, like Monday feeling like, oh, I haven't slept at all.
Which just reinforces all these beliefs about, you know, my sleep is terrible and I feel awful all the time. And therefore I have to try and fix this even harder and do more stuff. And
right.
So anyway, that's another, the last point I think I would make is the last kind of principle would be that you should not be in bed if you're not sleepy. And we've kind of talked about this before. If you're in bed and you're not sleepy, chances are you're going to start worrying. You're going to start thinking a lot. You're going to get frustrated.
Right.
And then you're associating the opposite of sleep with your bed. Right. So where this comes up a lot is for people who have what's called middle insomnia, which is their big problem is not necessarily falling asleep. It's that they wake up in the middle of the night and they can't go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they wake up and they see their alarm, their, you know, clock says 2:30 a.m.
Right.
And immediately all these thoughts about, oh, great, I'm up again early. Like, how come I struggle with this so much? Tomorrow's going to be miserable. All these kind of things, which of course you're shifting yourself up into arousal. Right.
Right.
The problem, and it's normal to be frustrated when you wake up in the middle of the night, for sure.
Sure, sure.
You know, like, I mean, nobody likes that. The problem is when you, well, what do you decide to do in response to that? Now, what most people do is they lay there for a few minutes.
Toss and turn.
They're still, if anything, they're even more awake than they were to begin with.
Start worrying.
They start trying to sleep. They start trying to analyze what's wrong. How come this happened? Was it what I ate last night? Like, I knew I should have had chamomile tea instead of Earl Grey, you know, like all this kind of stuff.
Super, like bully yourself into sleeping.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. Just, you're just like cross-examining yourself.
Gosh, damn it. Sleep.
Right. And then people get surprised when they still can't fall asleep. Because they're in turbo mode, right?
Yeah,
mentally, they're in turbo mode, which is on the exact opposite side of the spectrum from sleep, right?
This very normal.
Yeah.
Right.
So now the problem is, so one solution would be, well, just stop thinking. Just lay in bed and stop thinking.
Perfect.
Super easy, right? Just stop thinking.
Yeah.
Unless you're the Dalai Lama and you spend all day long meditating, that is a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
So for most people, the better strategy is you need to do something that takes your mind off of that bullying, problem solving, analyzing, worrying kind of mindset.
But nothing too arousing, I guess.
Well, so that's the thing. What you want to do really is you want to get out of bed. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're not falling back asleep within a few minutes, just get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your living room, right? Pick up a book and some, you know, a book you like. Even turn on the TV. This whole blue light thing and sleep, way overstated. Don't worry too much about it. It's better to go out to the couch in the living room and read a book for half an hour and let yourself get sleepy again. And then getting back into bed when you're actually sleepy and allow yourself to do what you're supposed to do in bed, which is fall asleep and
right.
be asleep. Right. So that's, and as you pointed out, when you get out of bed because you're not sleeping, you want to pick something that's mildly enjoyable, you know, like a favorite novel that you've read before, right? Or a sitcom that you like, Cheers, Seinfeld, The Office, something like that.
Right.
But something that's not super exciting or novel.
Go watch a horror movie.
No.
Or right. a show you've never seen.
Exactly.
Right.
Something that's, again, mildly entertaining and enjoyable, but not that arousing or stimulating.
Right. That you can get almost bored with.
Yeah. You do, you crochet. I have a couple clients who crochet, you know, in the middle of the night when they can't sleep. Just something kind of, keeps your mind occupied and not worrying, which is the most important. Because that's the only way you're going to go from turbo mode, aroused, anxious, frustrated, down to sort of alert, relaxed, and then sleep. You can't go from turbo mode to sleep. You have to go through relaxation first.
You have to descend.
Yes. Yeah. Just like in a car, like if you're going, you know, 80 miles an hour in fifth gear and you try and put it in park, bad things are going to happen. You don't have to be a car guy to know like bad things are going to happen if you try and do that.
By the way, I'm impressed that you've had a couple car metaphors in here already. I had to note that.
It's the rule for our podcast.
So shift down.
Yep. But don't think that you can do that lying in bed. You're going to stay in turbo mode.
Gotcha.
If you're afraid of not falling asleep and you wake up in the middle of the night, I guarantee it, you're going to stay there lying awake, worrying, frustrated.
So going out to your living room and reading a book you've already read is kind of a shift down.
Yeah, because you're putting your attention on something else besides trying to fall asleep.
Which is arousal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you're allowing yourself to get relaxed and then get sleepy, at which point then you can go back into bed.
Gotcha.
So if for any sustained amount of time you're still not sleepy and then you're in bed, you should not be in bed. You should get out.
That makes sense.
So those three, I think. So
the three are, one, don't do anything else in your bed but sleep, right? Don't just sit there and toss and turn.
That's the one we just talked about.
That's the one we just talked about. The next one, or the one previous was...
wake up at the same time.
Same time every day, through the weekend. Every day, yep. Even through the weekend. And on the early side, if you can.
If you can, because that'll regulate your sleep. It'll allow you to build up sleep drive and sleepiness, right?
And then the other one, the first one was...
spend less time in bed generally.
Generally.
Mm-hmm. The temptation when you have insomnia is to take some naps, to get to bed earlier than
you
normally
do. Go for quality over quantity.
Exactly. Okay. Quality over quantity. Okay. And if you can do those three things consistently, they're not easy. They're pretty straightforward, but they're tough.
Well, especially if you're not sleeping, because it does feel counterintuitive, some of those
exactly.
things.
Exactly. It's important to know, I think, and a lot of people don't know this, no one's ever died from insomnia. You can't die
right.
from trouble sleeping. And in fact, while a lot of people with insomnia, they get less sleep than is ideal. You know, most people need between 6 and 8 hours. Mm. That's like their optimal amount.
Right.
A lot of people don't know, you can function perfectly fine on 4 or even 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel great, right? And you probably shouldn't be,
pushing it,
trying to land on the moon or something, you know?
Right.
But you're going to be okay.
Right.
It's not bad for you. You can do it. And it's borderline non-existent for me when you really get the details. Almost no one consistently gets less than 4 hours of sleep per night.
Mm.
It's extremely rare.
Even for people with insomnia.
Yes. A lot of people with insomnia also tend to overestimate, or rather they underestimate how much sleep they're actually getting.
Okay.
But the point of all this is just to, sleeplessness is rough. It's rough when you're only getting 5 hours of sleep and you're used to seven. But the more you worry about it, the harder you're going to make it on yourself.
Mm. Which makes sense.
It's quicksand, right? Like the harder you try and get out, the faster you sink.
Right. The more difficult it gets for you.
Yep. Yeah. So it is very hard, and I don't want to sound callous for people who have sleep problems. It's miserable when you're not sleeping well. It's just that getting really analytical and judgmental and effortful about sleep is only going to make it worse.
Right. Right. So the solutions to insomnia can be a little counterintuitive, but they're there. They work.
Yeah. And actually we know I have never in years of treating insomnia, when people follow the guidelines, I've never seen it not work.
Really?
I've had people who for decades have had a severe insomnia, and in a matter of months, it's gone.
They're good.
Because here's the thing. Your body knows how to sleep. Like it wants to sleep. The insomnia is the problem of unintentionally getting in our body's way by trying to force sleep to happen, which we can't do and only makes us more aroused.
Right.
So there are some really good cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, which is what it is. There's decades of research showing it's super effective. All the major medical organizations give it as their first line gold standard treatment of choice.
Yeah.
It works super, super well if you're willing to do it for a little bit of time and get your sleep back on track. So
that's awesome. That's good advice. And so many people are affected by sleep issues and insomnia that, man, that's good to get the word out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Nick and I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please rate us on iTunes if you get a chance. And if you have any feedback or comments for us, that'd be great as well. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover in the podcast, let us know in the comment section as well. Thanks.